Double digits. We're here.
Wow, is this really the 10th?
10th episode, baby.
We made it.
We made it.
Somehow we haven't been convinced otherwise. Somehow we haven't gotten discouraged. Somehow.
We're in, like, middle school of our podcast.
Yeah. We have about 40-something more to go, but that's, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited. Yeah. Happy to take this journey. Double digits.
Woo! Woo!
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Capote.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun!
Tommy,
that's a cave thing.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish!
I'm always home, I'm on cool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Hello again and welcome to this week's edition of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. As always, I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies. And today we're talking about
it's a good TV movie.
A good TV movie. If I saw this as a child on TV in 1994, is it?
Yes.
1994. I'd be sad.
I would have come home satisfied. Young Kyle would have bawled because I almost did the other night.
Yeah, no, it was emotional. I mean, I'm an animal lover, and So the film we're talking about is The Yearling, and this is a remake. Again, another remake.
Mm-hmm.
Had you seen this one? I assume not, right?
No, but I totally, like, I'm a guy that I've seen so many of like, old, not a lot of, like, my film knowledge definitely comes from, like, 60s at the earliest. I mean, I know some Hitchcocks and stuff like that. I know, obviously, the classics, Citizen Kane, Casablanca. But most of my knowledge comes from, like, 70s. But anything besides that, any, like, early films, it's, like, early childhood films. So, like, this original one is in, in the 1940s.
It's a Disney film, yeah.
Yeah, and it stars Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck. I looked that up. I hadn't seen it. I feel like you... growing up as, like, a young white boy in America.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, the kind of movies...
Not about color, but sure.
You know what I'm saying, though. You know what I'm saying. And to be honest with you, I don't think they make movies like this anymore for kids.
No. There's... this film... I think we might have said this before, but it's so incredibly similar to Old Yeller.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a book... Do you know when the book was written?
Ooh, turn of the century. Turn of the century.
And do you know if Old Yeller was a book?
Old Yeller was a book too.
Okay, I wonder when
this book won the Pulitzer.
Yeah, this did. Yeah, this is a Pulitzer-winning book.
And then it was turned into a movie.
A movie in the 1940s, and then there was an animated version in the 80s.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then so in the 80s, I don't know exactly what year, but then not too long after, then we got a 94 TV movie. So.
Cool. I mean,
yeah. But I'm very curious as to if what was written first, Old Yeller or The Yearling. And I guess I didn't look into this. This was a movie because, you know, I always look for some facts, some trivia. There wasn't much information on it. The Yearling, I'm assuming, is referencing a young. Is that a name for, like, a young?
Yeah, they
animal?
Say no. They say it in the film that, like, oh, you know,
he's just a yearling.
Basically, he raises the deer till it becomes a yearling.
Year.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what, like, a year-old deer is called, I believe.
Oh, it goes from a fawn to a yearling?
Yeah, I believe.
Okay.
What the film would apply. I'm not a woodsman.
I am not either.
You're more of a woodsman than me.
Well, they're swampsmen.
True, they're bogmen.
A good bog.
I don't
bog.
Know, I'm just saying. So, Kyle, what's The Yearling about?
It's Florida in the 1920s. Jody is a lone surviving child of Ezra and Ori Baxter. After having to kill a doe to use her organs to save his dad... He says he must save and keep the orphan fawn, and from there, Jody learns about responsibility and manhood.
God, I love when you summarize those movies like that.
It's like
poetry. It's
right? I deserve a Pulitzer.
Yes, a Pulitzer for speaking.
Yeah, for paragraph Pulitzer.
Yeah, you get the Pulitzer for the paragraph, and then you get just some...
Love a good PP.
Some other... I don't know what the award is for public speaking, but you get that as well.
Yeah, just like the cadence is impeccable. I'm excellent at acting and reading.
That's why we get to criticize actors on here, because
exactly.
you're the gold standard for acting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's basically what it's about. It's one of, and just to go over this again, it's one of those, like, tales that were pretty common as books when the book was written, and then pretty common as films when the films came out. Just like Frontier Life, even like the Davy Crockett series that got popular for Disney. Totally.
Well, there's even, what's that one book, like the Where the Red Fern Grows or something? Yeah, like that. Oh yeah, like, there's that's that. That's a very, like, you know, the, I remember a dog getting even killed by
the Jack London stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jack London, the only way we could see this movie, we couldn't rent it or anything.
There you go.
We bought a DVD copy on Amazon.
Double feature.
And it's double feature, and it actually
the
came
Classic with, Adventures yes, Collection.
It's called the Classic Adventures Collection, and it came with a DVD of a TV movie of Call of the Wild, so I'm assuming they were made around the same time.
Yeah, probably.
And there's in Call of the Wild, there's a dog named Buck. And we have a character named Buck in The Yearling. Yes. But I feel like that's a woodsman name. There's always, like, a buck in...
Oh, there's always a buck in the woods.
True. It's a good point. But not quite a yearling.
No. Oh, the yearling.
I'm not a girl.
Bambi! Yeah. But this movie... So I had to include in that synopsis, that... I'm not trying to cut ahead, but there's some pretty crazy stuff in this movie for, like, a PG kids movie.
Yeah.
Like, the main character, Jody, has to kill a doe because he's out. A big thing in this movie is that, so they live in the swamps. It's just him, his mother, and his father. His father's actually a really decent guy. But, there's a bear that, like, terrorizes their little plot of land.
Yeah, what's the bear's name? It's got Slewfoot.
Yeah, Slewfoot.
It's like, in this world, there's like animals with names and stuff, but not like in the Disney cutesy way. It's just...
But if it was Disney, it'd be like, oh, Slewfoot.
Yeah.
It's like...
Before we touch on that, when the credits were rolling in at the beginning, is this the first film that he's Philip Seymour Hoffman? Or has he been Philip Seymour Hoffman before?
This is, okay, so I cannot, like, recall, per se, from the credits... But, like, on, like, IMDb, this is, and definitely movie credits, this is Phillips. This is the one that, like, it's definitely both places, Phillips Seymour Hoffman.
Cool. I guess this is when he decided. He's out in the swamps of Florida.
Now.
He's filming. He's
this
like,
is a pretty good, he does a real good character.
He's in this movie a good amount.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It's full screen, by the way, if you guys ever buy the DVD or even remember this movie. It's a TV movie, what do you expect? And it's not... You know, it was not critically acclaimed to the level where they're going to remaster it in widescreen.
I saw it had a 97% Rotten Tomato score.
Really? Are you sure it was that one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I couldn't find it on Rotten Tomatoes, maybe.
I think it said on IMDb.
That's cool. Good for it.
There's probably like one review.
I clicked
one good review.
It's possible. Yeah, not too many people had seen this one either. We're going with that trend in the earlier films.
I read one brief review, or just wrote it on the sentence from a review of from a Variety magazine. The guy wrote, "The absence of true grit and dirt under fingernails feeling weakened believability of the drama." Come on. It's a TV movie. Like, that's like a moment where, like, that's what you have to write up.
Hey, it's his job. He's a critic.
It's his job, I know.
We're like the nicer.
He's trying to give
critics.
Us a variety.
Wah, wah. I'll probably bring this up again on the podcast, but when Philip Seymour Hoffman was on Inside the Actor's Studio, you know, they always ask, like, what job would you not want to have?
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed and said, critic. know? So he would probably not like it, what that guy said.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like the critics.
Who does like a critic?
Well, we're kind of critics. That's what I was saying. We're kind of critiquing here. What else are we doing?
Sure, but like in a moment, I'd be like, I would back down in a second. Like in a humble way, not in like a cowardly way, but I'd be like, yeah, you're clearly the professional. We're just like fanboys that are talking about it.
Pretty much. So back to this Slewfoot, right?
Yeah.
The movie it opens up with like Frontier Life, and then you see they go on a... Slewfoot the bear has killed one of the mother's pigs, is it?
The sow,
yeah.
Yeah.
She's killed a pig. The mother, by the way, I'd seen her in other places.
I saw on IMDb, you just watched it, she was in Homeward Bound.
I
meant Facebook.
This is what I was just going to say. Yeah. So I was like, I noticed her face after I've seen this movie. Then no joke, in the last 3 days since I've seen this movie, I've seen her in 3 other places.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell?
I know she's in a bunch of stuff, but for some reason, Homeward Bound.
So the other day, I decided to watch Homeward Bound.
Okay.
I'm a dog lover.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Homeward
Bound.
And
this is the 90s. This is the one with Michael J. Fox. Because this is the original where Alan
that
was Arn
just called. Talking. That was just called The Incredible Journey. It was
oh, Homeward yes, Bound. That's yes. true. This is Homeward Bound,
The Incredible,
Incredible
Journey.
Journey,
yes. You can listen to our animal podcast every Friday,
exactly.
guys. So she's in Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
She's like the one they drop the dogs off at.
Yeah, it does a horrible job, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the... I know.
Okay. Yeah.
Then, randomly, I was watching Garden State, and she plays Peter Sarsgaard's mom.
Oh, the one that's having sex with the Knight from Medieval Times?
Yeah, the Knight from Medieval Times. You know who that is? The star of Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons.
Hilarious.
It's awesome.
It's a far better role than
And then,
Big Bang
randomly,
Theory.
I'm watching an episode of Frasier, and she guest starred in that.
Hilarious.
I'm like, this woman is haunting me. Yes, I watch a lot of 90s, early 2000s things, people, okay.
Yeah.
Criticize me for that, whatever. But I was like, wow, this woman, I've seen her in four things. And what is her name, did you?
It is Jean Smart.
Jean Smart, yes. I looked it up, too, and I'm like.
She plays the lovely named character Ori.
Ori, yeah.
What
she
the
wasn't
hell
that nice of a lady
come
in this.
From?
Yeah.
No, but she, well, this is the whole thing. I said, so, like, my reaction was like, oh, this dad is surprisingly nice. You don't picture dads, especially in like a swamp in the early 90s, like being nice guys. For some reason, this dad is like a nice guy,
yeah.
And the mom has to like wear the pants in the family. And this is like a part of the dialogue, and we get it. And there's like a good arc.
And when you say wear the pants, you don't mean it like she's doing the hunting and all that kind of stuff. And they're like
traditional
no,
but like
role.
The bringing up like
she's more she's the disciplinarian.
Yes. Which,
household.
I mean, moms can be and dads are
no,
known
of course,
to, like...
of course, of you course. Know. But I know what you're saying. I know you're saying that in the frontier lifestyle, and we've seen so many things where it's, like, the caring mom and, like, their mom, and the dad's like, you gotta be a man, son, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And while he still wants to make his son a man,
yeah.
The dad's definitely more the affectionate parent.
Totally, yeah.
And she's more the rough and tumble.
Yeah, like make sure to hug his son and give him
yeah,
some. Yeah,
exactly. So I definitely know what you're saying.
Did you recognize the kid from anything?
No. What's he from?
There was one. I'm like,
I
number
love
one, number
these.
One, good, like decent child actor.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely.
I don't look this stuff
I'm,
up because I like when you give me the nuggets.
Yeah.
Here.
This kid, I was just like, he's so familiar. So I mean, I didn't like recognize off like versus like first episode Triple Bogey. I was like. That's the girl from Home Alone.
Yeah,
this one I had to look up, but I'm like, I know I recognize him from something. It was one thing. He's like the goon kid from the real baseball team in Sandlot.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that like has the whole thing with like the Hambino.
Yeah, yeah.
Of just like, you play baseball like a girl, and he gets all offended. This
oh,
is the
wow.
same. So he
okay.
was like a jerk in that movie,
okay.
good kid in this
That's
movie.
A good call.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
So.
Back to Slewfoot.
Yeah, back to Slewfoot. There's this epic fight, right?
Well, there's the first one.
The first fight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's crazy.
And so they go out to hunt Slewfoot after he kills the sow.
Yeah.
It's rainy. It's gross. And they bring, like, three dogs with them.
Yeah.
These dogs kind of become pivotal. One of the dogs sees the bears and, like,
wimps
out.
Yeah.
Just, like, turns
I don't
around.
Blame it.
And they
then
get
there's, like, two beagle dogs.
Yeah, they're, like, hunting
hound.
Dogs.
Yeah.
They're, like, hounds.
Yeah.
They get close to the bear, and the father has a shot. And the gun doesn't work, like, twice,
yeah.
right?
And so...
Shit. On cue, dog.
Oh, yeah, wow. ladies and gentlemen, for a real... Henry, come here. Come here. Enough. Ridiculous. We're going to put you in the hamper. Yeah, so the dogs, and then there's the main dog. I think its name is Julie, and it's like...
Julia.
It's like a big, you know, it's his father's dog.
Yeah, Julia.
Julia. And Julia gets... I didn't think it was going to survive. I thought we were going to get a dog death, which brings me to tears.
Yeah, so the guns don't work, so Julia's like, I'm going to go kill this bear.
Yeah, I guess.
It does not succeed.
It's an old gun, and it's raining out, so the gun, like, misfires, and, yeah. So the dog gets hurt, and they have to retreat, and Slewfoot gets away. But then on this... They go out again, and that's when... the dad gets bit by a rattlesnake.
Yeah, but before that, right, remember, like, I just wanted to get in the dynamic back to the mother, because they bring Julia back.
Yeah.
And she does not care that the dog is hurt. She's
yeah.
more upset. Like, in this, and I think it's even mentioned later in the movie, in this film...
And she should understand, because she was all upset about the pig.
Well, yeah, in this film, he kind of says, like, dogs are a man's thing to his son. And it seems like she cares about the farm animals, but hates the dogs.
I kind of like that he also has, like, a female dog. Like,
yeah, so it's kind of, like, equal there,
he's got
I guess.
Two bitches in his life.
So, wah, wah. So they're kind of nursing the dog back to health. He brings the dog inside, and the mother's all upset about that. Yeah. Like, why is the dog inside the house? And this kind of foreshadows later the deer.
Yeah. And then the father.
Yeah. But before, remember, before we get to the rattlesnake scene that you bring up, we meet Philip Zimmer Hoffman.
Yeah. So that's, like, again, like you said, he's in a decent amount. So the first time we meet him, the father, they have neighbors.
So, yeah, so he basically says, I need to get a good gun if I want to kill this bear. So they have this neighboring clan of just, like, hick folk who do moonshine.
And we meet the one family member first because he's, like, in the beginning of the film with Jody, right?
Oh, the crippled boy,
yeah. There's a crippled boy.
There's a crippled boy that becomes Jody's friend. I think he's a little slow in the head,
And, like, definitely, But, yeah, something happened to him that he got, like, injured as a kid and probably, like, hit his head. I feel like...
Yeah, and, you know, like country medicine as well. Exactly. Like, maybe he could have been saved easily with something. Yeah. But he tames animals. He collects animals.
Yeah.
Jody's mother has never, like, really let him have a wild animal. But this guy has, like, the cripple has, like, a skunk and, like, a raccoon.
Everything.
And, like, an eagle.
Yeah.
Just, like, all these animals that he traps him, and he's just... He has a way with the animals, and Jody, you could tell, has always, like, envied him, despite him being, like, a crippled boy.
Yeah.
He's envied that lifestyle in terms of just being one with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the house of this family.
And he plans on, the father plans on trading...
He traded the coward dog, right?
Yeah.
So he trades the cowardly dog for, like, a good gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Philip Seymour Hoffman there, and... He's just one of the brothers, right?
Yeah, how about we'll play a little clip.
This here goes down good with a tall tale.
How about that accent?
So this is a new Philip Seymour Hoffman for us, right? It's not New York, it's not LA, it's not like a city character.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a prep school boy. He's just like
Hillbilly.
A country... Bumpkin.
Yeah.
A Florida.
I can only think
swamp
of
man.
One other time he does an accent like this is Cold Mountain.
Cold Mountain. Yeah, that's true. We might see another one that we haven't seen.
True.
But this is like early career first. He's venturing out here.
Yeah.
He's being something
completely
out of type.
I mean, whatever, it's a TV movie, but as far as like his acting, like he does a great job and he does like I think it's a really solid accent. You know what actually kinda help, not that he's like I'm not trying to be mean towards people of, you know, the South or whatever, but you know how, like, he played, like the dumb bully in My Boyfriend's Back?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that, like, slack-jawedness to him here.
Yeah, but it's still, even at that character, who's just, like, a caricature more than a character, and I wouldn't say this one's the same, but he always gives a dignity to the role in terms of, it feels real. If this was the only movie I'd ever seen him in, I wouldn't think, oh, this is a New York actor who's just mailing in this TV movie role. I'd feel like he was from there.
Totally. I mean, and I kind of like the his character in this film. He's actually like a good guy.
Yeah,
his
he ends up being a good guy. You don't realize it. His brother's a real jerk, and
and
you could tell that from moment one. Philip Seymour Hoffman, you're not sure, but he never shows us bad. He just seems like. You don't know if he's going to be more loyal to his family at one point or to just being a good guy, but he ends up being, like, a good guy, right?
Yeah.
So his father trades the gun.
Yeah, they go out again to try, because this time she got a calf or something like that? Something?
Yeah, a calf gets...
More livestock.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
Her livestock keeps getting attacked,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's a killer. He's a bad bear because he doesn't eat.
Yeah, he just knows where, like, you know, the open buffet is.
Yeah,
I don't blame him.
So he just eats, but he doesn't eat the full cow.
Yeah, he's a kid. Yeah, honestly, I laughed. They almost treated it like it reminded me of, like, Jaws. Like, this is a rogue.
Yeah,
man.
Like, but you're absolutely right. That's how they definitely treat it.
Like, she's a killer. She doesn't, you know, she kills for sport, like, not for food. But they go out, and then the dad trips, and then... Like, Jody almost gets bitten by the snake or something like that.
Yeah, so they're kind of like humdy-dum, you know, and the dad trips, and a rattlesnake bites the father.
Yeah, in the arm.
And you think he's going to die.
Exactly. This film is...
It's, like, very intense, especially for kids.
But then right away, like, I was so confused, like, kind of by, like, the dialogue, because the dad's just like, oh, you got it, like, he's just, like, telling all
yeah,
different, like,
yeah.
I don't know, he's just, like, really all over the place. But then there's a doe right there, And then still, I'm like confused because yeah.
But Jody's confused as well because he tells Jody to shoot the deer. He's like, what? He's like, are you crazy? Is this the first time? Like I've never shot a deer. So this is big. The father has never let him kill an animal.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, like he just he says it later that he didn't want him to kind of be a man yet. He kind of wanted to be a man like on his own terms.
Again, not like a thing I'm expecting from a father back then.
No, no. And so, but Jody's forced to kill this doe. You're supposed to shoot bucks, right?
Like, yeah. I totally thought that it was gonna be that like he knew he was dying, so he wanted to make sure his son could like kill something before he died.
But he actually I thought that too.
Yeah, but then and that's why I included it in the synopsis. So there's this old school trick. Right away I was just like, oh, they don't know yet. You're supposed to suck the venom out, but he does do that. But then they toss the liver on it.
Yeah, he kills the deer and he's like. Find me the liver.
Cut out the liver.
And the kid knows where a freaking deer liver is. I guess that's frontier living, right?
And some fava beans.
And he grabs the liver and and I actually looked this up, and there is old Native American legends, or it's possibly true. Look, the liver does process things.
Well,
right?
That was the whole thing. Once he said that, I was just I didn't bother looking it up, but I just know the general function of a liver. Yeah, so I guess that works. I didn't doubt their. I'm going to get bitten by a snake someday. I'm going to be someone give me their liver.
What?
And then even pieces, parts of the heart. I guess it's so fresh. Maybe it, pumped. I don't know. But it's to get the venom out. And then, like I said, he does do that. But then he runs to the neighbors again.
And basically, the jerk brother doesn't want to help him.
Well, because he knows by that point they were kind of tricked by the dog. It was a jerk dog.
It was a crappy dog.
No, so that was the dog that was dead. He killed that dog, right? Because he was pissed off.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so they go to the neighbors, for help, and this is where the jerk brother, right?
Yeah, and there's an earlier scene where we see that dog that he got, I guess it was a crappy dog, and he killed the dog, and he kind of dropped it on their...
The dad did try to pull a fast one on him, but, why don't you just keep it as a pet then?
Yeah, something? I don't know. And he also stole some of their sheep or something, right? Or goats?
Yeah.
This guy's a jerk.
But Philip Seymour Hoffman, and then... So his character's name is Buck.
Buck, yeah.
There's a Buck in this movie. His name is Buck. I don't have the other brother's name, but he's, the typical, overweight, fat country southern bumpkin
kind of
guy
brother.
And so they're the ones that are just we'll go help you.
They come to help Jody's father. Well, the jerk brother kind of just wants him to die. And they get there, and basically if it wasn't for them he would have died.
And they even stay at the house. They stay overnight.
So they bring a doctor there. And a doctor kind of is nursing at night. He's trying to says if Jody's father makes it to the morning,
if he's alive in the morning, he won't die.
He won't die.
And it's good that he's sweating because you're sweating it out.
And Buck, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and the brother, like you said, stay there. And when they wake up, they figure they're there to dig him a ditch, right?
Yeah,
that's a good clip. We should play that.
Yeah.
Doc's pasta made it.
No. I woke up fixing to bury him. Wait a while on me.
I'll do the farming part, don't you worry.
I'll stay and work the corn and such.
Nice to be beholden to you.
There ain't too many of us shifting for a living out here, man. I'd be a poor man, didn't I not stay?
I'm much obliged.
Gotta love these clips, people, when we're given a meaty roll of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes,
we wanna hear
finally.
Yeah, right?
So he makes it to the morning, basically, and that's one of the times that we see Jody start to become a man, essentially. And the father, when he wakes up, basically tells Jody that, Jody feels bad for shooting the doe, and he saw that the doe had a child.
Yeah, when he
child,
was just about to run to the neighbors, he saw the fawn there.
The fawn, and the father lets him, basically, he says basically if he could find the fawn, he could keep it as a pet.
Yeah.
The mother is not happy. But which again, I get it. Don't keep a deer in the house. But on the other hand, he just saved his father's life.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a little I get it. You don't want to have a deer in the house, especially once it becomes full size. That's a big animal because it's gonna turn into a buck. It's a male deer.
Yeah.
So,
and she says, I like, you want a 10-point deer in the house?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't blame her in that sense, but it should have been kept in, like, the same little stable area as, like, the livestock.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so this is where we get into, like, the main meat and potatoes of the film.
Which is the yearling.
Which is, yeah, which where we get our title from.
So he gets the deer, right?
What's his name, the deer?
Well, we'll get to it because it has to do with the crippled boy.
Ah.
So he traps the deer, kind of. He lures it in. He brings it home. So Jody decides to go with Buck to show off his new deer to the cripple boy. And this is also the first time that Buck sees it, because this is Buck's brother. And unfortunately, another death in here. Yeah, he died. He died the same night as the father.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. I don't know. They didn't really address this, but there's pretty much like one doctor in this area.
Yeah.
And he treated the father, and he didn't treat the cripple boy.
I thought this was going to be like a turn for Philip Seymour Hoffman's character.
Yeah, I did too, but you know
what?
But
it just shows his like merit and his like...
Yeah, they didn't know. And honestly...
He knew his brother was like ill.
Exactly, exactly. But it's sad. Jody's really upset.
And he goes out and he frees all the
animals. Yeah, he frees all his animals like kind of symbolically, but really too. He frees them all. I don't know if all of them are going to survive. And I was thinking like, there's like... He has like a fox and stuff. He's like predators.
Yeah.
And he has prey animals. He's releasing him right there. That's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
that's neither here nor there. He frees all the cripple boys' animals.
Yeah, just like predators and preys running out into a little patch together.
And basically the mother of Buck and the cripple boy and this whole family is like really... She knows that like the cripple boy loved Jody.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked Jody to wait at the house. Like, with the body, and it's kind of, like, a sad moment. And the day after, they're all having, like, dinner together, and she says that he was so excited to meet the deer, he had heard that he got the deer, the cripple boy, and that he had decided that the deer should be named Flag for some reason.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, Jody would kind of be a jerk if he was like, well, I want to name him Roger.
That's a stupid name.
Yeah. I'm not naming a stupid deer Flag.
Yeah.
Like, you know? So he ends up naming him Flag in honor of his friend. And
his past friend.
He doesn't call him Flag too much in the movie.
No.
But it is like a nice gesture there, that's for sure.
Come here, boy.
Okay, so after this, I don't know if you noticed this, Kyle, but he goes back. This is an episodic film, like a lot of films based on novels are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed this. In the written-up summaries everywhere, it says this takes place after the Civil War. But you correctly said that it takes place in the 20s, because if you pan to the graves... So Jody has...
Yeah, like we said, like I said, he's a lone surviving child. He's one of four.
He's one of four, and all his other siblings are dead. And you clearly see the graves marked, like, 1915.
Yeah.
And with the last one being 20s. That's why we approximate this in the 20s.
Yeah, but on both IMDb, Wikipedia...
Because the original version, the father... is a Confederate veteran, and I'm sure they wanted to like take that out. I don't know if they had to change the year that much. I'm not sure. I haven't read the book. There might be more like Civil War themes that they wanted to eliminate.
There wasn't much per se.
He said he was a veteran, right? Like
at
one point, but maybe like World War One or something.
Maybe like the Spanish.
Maybe Spanish American War.
Imagine if he was one of the Rough Riders.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders.
Now this is a completely different film.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean I haven't read the original. I imagine, you know, like I mean any movie when it's just like, ooh, I see what they did there, or obviously it goes, I don't read much, so I'm assuming in literature, it was probably like a big deal that you had this kind father, because I read like that was like a similar thing. Like the characters are, you know, pretty much the same, but it just takes place a different time.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty similar. It's supposed to be pretty similar to the book.
I think that the author of the book, she wanted to show that even there's like a lighter side, you know, to like everyone in the Confederacy was bad, probably or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, but you know,
like that kind of
TV
motif.
Movie.
Like, oh no, TV movie in the early '90s.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And honestly, it probably makes it more of a period piece and more expensive. I think that probably played
That's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Because there wasn't, like, much that made me go, oh, this is a certain year.
No, exactly.
Besides, like, the war
thing,
drove.
The thing about, like, country tales, I guess, is that not much changes in the country, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
So it could take place in a number of years, and we'd be like, oh, okay.
I thought at first maybe it was also, like, I mean, I saw the gravestones, but when I was watching, I'm just like, this could be technically, like, Depression era, too. Like,
yeah, I mean, 30s. As long as they're not wearing bonnets or, like, pilgrim outfits, like, you kind of, like, you have, like, a 100-year period where it could take place. And that's fine.
Swampy Florida, though. It takes place where Disney World is now.
That's how it ends, actually. Spoiler, guys. They just level it to build Disney World.
All the animals, you just see them getting rolled over.
Rolled over and turned into animatronic animals.
It's Jody's last name.
It's a small world, after all.
Jody's last name is Disney.
Yes, that's how... This is the Walt Disney story.
Yeah, it's the young... We learn... We just see him at the end. He draws a deer, and he's like, I like drawing animals.
And
he's
and
a pet mouse.
That's
Bambi. This
is like, you know,
Bambi's spinoff.
You know, like Finding Neverland, and like, what's the other one with like Saving Mr. Banks?
Yeah,
this is the Bambi one.
Yeah, this is the Bambi one.
No, guys, now we're completely off the train here. Regardless, so the film takes place in the 20s, but again, it's that timeless sort of frontier feel.
Mm-hmm.
Next scene. Or next episode, we'll say, because like I said, it's pretty episodic, is that whole hurricane thing.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. And that looked cool, actually. That's like for this TV movie, like actually looked like a hurricane.
They just like went out there and filmed like a storm.
Probably. It's Florida, you know. Probably happens every half hour. So there's a hurricane and it completely ruins their corn crop.
Yeah. So this is a family, like, I mean, that's why I was also felt like they're just... They kind of, like, live, like, you know, crop by crop, animal by... Like, every one little thing changes their whole year for them. Like, from, like... You learn that in a way of the mom has reused her, like, wedding dress as, like, a fancy dress.
Yeah, exactly. And which is brings us to kind of the next scene. First of all, the father's a huge optimist, you know?
Yeah.
The whole corn crop gets destroyed. And basically, the mother says... Like, oh, we're screwed, you know?
Yeah.
This is her attitude the entire time. We're screwed.
Yeah.
And the father's like, we'll just plant another one. Mm-hmm. If we get another corn crop, we'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So they go into town, right? I think they go to get more seed or something. They get other stuff. And he kind of announces, like, by Christmas that he wants to go to the Christmas dance in town. And they're like, yippee. Even the mom's excited about it.
Yeah, she's really excited.
This is where you mentioned the wedding dress.
Yeah, so she has a dress that she wants to, like, add a certain linen on to.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's from her wedding. Like, whenever that was.
But, and then they want to get Jody a pair of shoes. But even then, like, in that realm, like, I get, like, I would have been, like, I'm not buying a kid a new pair of nice shoes because he's going to outgrow them. Like,
that's true, too. And I don't think they value shoes too much in this community, even in, quote-unquote, town.
But they want to have, like, a nice thing for, like, there's going to be a dance on, like, Christmas.
Yeah, there's a Christmas dance, and they want to get to this dance. And they go into town, right, and there's that one scene with the little girl.
Yeah, Jody shows zero interest in girls.
And
But the mom, like, says, like, you know, she's, like, trying... She, like, that's, like, her, like, one of her few nice moments.
Her sunnier moments, yeah.
Yeah. That she's just like, oh, you see that girl? Like, she was looking at you. He's like, I didn't even see
Yeah, and the girl is looking at him. It's not like something the mom invents, and he kind of just ignores it, kind of purposely ignores it.
Yeah, he
kind of,
like, walks away from her or something.
We've all been at that stage, I think, a little bit. But, so, basically, so there's this foreshadowing moment in this store, because the girl is the daughter of, like, this shopkeeper, right? Uh-huh. They bring some pelts, and he's like, "Ah, these pelts are only going to get you this, they're going to get you that." Yeah. And he's like, "You know what I'm really looking for?" He's like, "Deer pelts." He's like, "Everyone's coming up for deer pelts." And right there, I think the mom's like, "Oh, I want to kill this deer."
Yeah.
You know?
This deer's pelt will be much better than...
How you describe, like, the dress that she wants to get repaired, she basically can't get it repaired.
Yeah, or, like, what she wants,
she's
going to do, like, something, like, a simple thing to make it a little different, but the other thing would add, like, fabric to it that it would look like a new dress, but it would just be, like, you know, you wouldn't have to add, because, you know, those dresses were, like, thicker then. She was just going to get something that would just, like, put, like, fringes on it and stuff.
Yeah,
like, frills,
just a little touching,
a little flavor.
So, I mean...
She wants to look good for a man, I don't blame her.
They go back, right, they planted the corn... Things are looking up here.
Yeah.
The bear attacks again. And they're like, we going hunting.
Yeah.
You know, we're going hunting.
Yeah, we're
going
to finally get this thing. So Jody and Pa go out. And then Jody trips. This family trips.
Yeah, this is like, whoa.
But he just,
then
so
again,
he
this
decides,
is a swamp. But it can't be the easiest to walk.
But he decides to go a different way and comes face to face with... Slewpaw?
Slewfoot.
Slewfoot.
Come on, the evil Slewpaw. Bear. The...
It sounds like, you know, like, he's like a hip-hop bear. That's his rap
hip-hop
name.
Hip-hop Hank, hip-hop bear.
Yeah.
He's got a name, no. Kyle.
Yo, what's up? I'm Slewfoot.
Respect his given name. God gave him that name.
God didn't give his name.
Yes, in the Florida swamps. Oh, you better believe God gave him that name.
Lord have mercy.
Slewfoot. That's the voice you expect him to have, right?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. I am Slewfoot. Regardless.
So Jody comes face to face with him, and that, and you're like, oh, man. Like, even the dog gets, like, swatted away again.
Yeah, this is, like, this is like, another this is epic not bear be fight. Good. This is a movie of epic bear fights.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty, like, it was a, okay. Can I just say, like, I thought, like, the bear in this is, like, better than, like, the CGI bear that they did in the Academy Award-winning film The Revenant.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that you could probably do more with bears back then than now.
Yeah, but it was, like, a real bear, and the moment that they had a puppet, like, it was fine. Like, you know, it's, like, one of those moments when they do, like, the close-ups so you just see, like, more, like, fur and, like, a little bit of something.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty... It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And...
No, I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
Pa comes up and shoots Slewfoot.
Yep, Pa finally got him.
And then I got nervous. This film has me. I'll give it to this film. It has me on the edge of the seat. He goes up to it. I'm like, give it a freaking headshot, man. I thought Slewfoot was gonna come up and claw Pa or like bite him. It just this film has like a edge of your seat.
2 weeks ago, you wanted Michael Madsen to get a headshot, and I think you were right.
Yeah.
And now you want the bear. This bear is the Michael Madsen of the film.
Totally. Michael Madsen did the puppetry.
Maybe. So you're right, and then
yeah, luckily, but he is
luckily
dead.
Luckily the bear is dead.
And then obviously this bear, it's, you know, it's a big old grizzly bear, which I don't know if grizzlies are, I think black bears.
I don't think it's a grizzly, right? I think it's like they slang it as a grizzly, but I don't think it's anatomically a grizzly. I don't think grizzly bears live in Florida.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a grizzly bear in the movie. It's like a brown bear in the movie. Like the animal that they have.
I'm not Dwight Schrute from The Office. No, I can't tell you, like,
that's
the
it's
bear
black
species.
Bears like live down there.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not.
It wasn't the proper bear.
That's probably like one of the famous Hollywood bears. There's like a couple of famous Hollywood bears that they train, and it's probably I don't know.
Dr. Doolittle. No, this is the 80s, never mind. But
regardless, the bear's dead, and then we
it's this too heavy causes, to carry.
This causes some very good Buck Philip Seymour Hoffman scenes. With this bear. So, like you said, it's too heavy to carry. They run into the brothers.
Yeah, they're walking out to the road. And what do they have? It's all three brothers. And they're
heading
back.
They have a wagon full of shine, right?
Moonshine. Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. They also do moonshine. Like, that's
their
main...
They're rum runners here. Yeah. They're moonshine runners.
So, yeah, because I guess
that would
Prohibition's
make,
going on.
Yeah,
right?
I would guess that would make the 20s connection more real.
Yeah.
Just connecting that now, me and you.
Yeah. But... Yeah, so they run into the brothers, and of course the jerk brother like wants nothing to do with it, and doesn't believe him at first, and then just even then like, Buck, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, and then the like fat one are just like, yeah, we'll go help you, and so they go in and they skin the bear, and I don't know what they do with the bear meat.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they probably eat it, but like they don't believe it, and when they see it, they're just like. They're just so happy. Like, everyone's happy for Jody's dad.
Oh, and that's the big thing. So, the mom thinks they're going to... Because this is Christmas. I guess Christmas Eve or Christmas. And she thinks they're going to miss, like, the dance in town. And then Phil Hoffman goes in and is, like, wearing or dancing with people. Maybe I'll try to grab, like a picture and put it on the...
Yeah, definitely get a
Facebook.
Picture of this bear dance scene.
Yeah.
So, but before that, right, like, I guess with the bear money...
Yeah.
The dad buys the mom a nice dress.
No, he did a shoot. No, it was before that.
It was before that? Okay. Yeah. I don't know what money. I don't know what money he got it. So the mom has a dress. They're all down at this dance.
He just spent money that they couldn't really afford spending.
So
the guy's a nice guy. What a nice guy.
So the mom has a date. Jody doesn't have a date, but he sees the blonde girl.
Yeah.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman's date, like you said.
The skin of the bear.
Yes, he just walks in with a bear carcass.
Slewfoot skin.
And starts dancing.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
Love it.
He's amazing. Like, he just... it's great.
And this is... so it's like, you know, you have, like... You have, let's see, the Slewfoot, you have the rattlesnake, and then the other big thing in this film, before our finale, is the jerk brother.
Jerk brother, we'll call
him. And so he's... Drunk. He's a jerk in general. He's drunk. I think he's embarrassed because it was a big thing. Like, Slewfoot is, like,
he's legendary. He's even notorious. in town.
Yeah, he's notorious.
Civilized, you know, in town, and they're like, they can't believe that Slewfoot's been killed.
Just kind of like, is it really that hard? You have a whole town that wants to kill a bear.
Look, there's not much that goes on in this town. Okay, yeah. It's a nice legend to have. Regardless, like you said, Jerk Brother comes into this dance all drunk. He asks this random woman to dance, but I think she's married.
Yeah.
The husband says, like, no. They get into a fight.
Yeah, and so then
Jody's dad
like goes in there just to kind of break it up, and then Jerk Brother puts his attention on the dad, and he's just like him. He's kind of like letting him like hit him and stuff like that, and he's getting the brother, you know, Jerk Brother's getting some good hits in. Then Jody, you know, like I'm young man moment, jumps on him, but gets like pushed back like two or three times, and then finally the mom.
Yes, the mom. I forgot about.
Yeah, pulls a shotgun out, shoots the ceiling.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, these are people fighting here. Don't pull a gun out.
So this is the kind of woman. This is a strong female character.
She is.
I don't know. There's not another woman to really talk to.
No, we're not. We're not.
We're not going to get every episode. We're going to get to
realm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, but she is strong. She pulls out the gun, kind of stops the fight, but it causes this whole other.
Yeah, like the Jerk Brother like says like, oh, this, you're gonna have your woman finish your fights for you, and then the dad gets a hit in, but pretty much like.
Well, it's funny because the dance goes on after this because I feel like it was backwards.
But the dessert table's ruined.
Yeah, they ruined it.
I
was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, look, the cripple boy dies, the dog dies, but
and
when that
dessert table
goes, oh my God, I bawled. Yeah. I cried.
I wanted some early 1900s desserts.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think they put possum in things. I didn't think about that. But, like, you know,
possum,
southern, like,
possum
custards
jelly.
And
yeah, custards.
Maybe like a key lime pie, maybe up from the Keys. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd
be great. Regardless,
tune into our next podcast, Southern
Southern Baked Goods podcast.
Yeah, Southern Baked Goods, early turn of the century, Southern Baked Goods.
Sorry, I just went to like a food fantasy. It's kind of like dinner time here, just FYI.
Yeah, we haven't had dinner yet. But, yeah, so, I mean, what's the big thing after that?
Jerk Brother plots his revenge, right?
Yeah.
He takes a spoke or something out of the wagon?
Something.
Like some screw out of the wagon.
Necessary part of the wagon.
But it's funny, it's like a time bomb, right?
Yeah.
It's nothing that's going to affect him now, but it's something that's going to randomly affect him later that he just happens to know is like a flaw in the mechanics of this wagon. He takes like a nail out of it or something.
It's like a wooden spoke or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lug nut,
perhaps.
I don't know. But yeah, so the next big thing to happen is that they're on the farm. Things are going pretty good, right?
Yeah, we're like, oh, happy country life.
Times.
We finally got the deer's growing up.
Yeah.
We haven't touched on the yearling yet, Flag.
He's a year-ish, not a yearling.
And he's doing his, like, he does mischief occasionally. The mom, like, gets mad at him. But, like, any dog, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's Jody's dog, essentially.
Yeah. Jody wants a dog. He wants a hunting dog.
Yeah.
That's his big thing.
Your mom's always going to get mad at you and your dog, you know. Does something in the house or something.
So why not a deer as well?
So it's kind of, the hijinks are at that level at this point.
Yeah, but then I guess the brilliant plot of the Jerk Brother happens and the wagon starts rolling and they're trying to stop it and like there's a little successful and then it starts rolling again and then Paw's foot gets run over and gets broken. So
yeah, it's again, it just. This is, I don't know if this is in the book, but this is so, like, convenient.
Yeah.
How did he know it was going to break at that point and hit Pa?
Yeah.
How did he know?
I think, it was just, like, obviously hoping for, like, an inconvenience.
Well, he got lucky then. He got really, really lucky. And Pa basically, it sucks because he can't really.
Yeah, he can't do, it's a pretty bad broken foot.
He can't really do anything anymore.
So Jody goes over, and this is, I think we're going to play another clip coming up, people, but Jody goes over and he confronts him, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like, this Jerk Brother's, like, blood says, like, no, you did wrong. We're supposed to be good neighbors.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he backs him up, basically. Yeah.
Here we go.
It's what the boy say, true, Liam. He's a liar. Just like his daddy.
But daddy, he never told a lie in his life. And I ain't lying either. I saw you under that wagon.
Stealing the hogs, bad enough, ma'am. This is more than I can stomach. I'd rather have me, an honest and friendly neighbor, than a sneaky low-down coward! Brother! boy.
Good-hearted man.
Hell yeah. Hell Ooh. Yeah.
Hero.
Country hero, you know.
There goes my hero. Second time I sung it in front of you today.
Yes, that is true. I don't know, like, I know the Cracker Barrel restaurant and country store did not exist at this time.
But it did.
I mean,
this family opened it. That was the original. Their house was the original.
It's
you
possible.
See those rocking chairs and chess?
I hope so. But like, this is the vibe you get here, yeah. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is the hero of these kind of people.
Yeah.
I love Cracker Barrels, and I would love to eat at a Cracker Barrel with this character.
That'd be fantastic.
Right?
And some grits?
And some grits, some... Mm. You know, whatever they
could be. We keep going to food.
Yeah, we're hungry, guys. Sorry. So, regardless, right? Philip Seymour Hoffman, before his character, helped sow the fields when the father was hurt.
Yes.
But they kind of used their last seed on the last planting, mm-hmm. right? So this is where the bad thing kind of happens here. Jody keeps tending to his father, and he's ignoring Flag a little bit.
Yeah.
Flag is not allowed in the house anymore for various reasons, because mm-hmm. he just misbehaved.
And then finally he wakes up one morning.
Flag.
Is eating a crop. And yep. It's not like he ate a whole bunch of it.
No, but he
But he got, just like the bear, it's kind of like a full circle on like also like having to like kill the bear because the bear found an easy food source, and that's what they recognize, like wild animals, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like the opposite of the T-Rex in Jurassic Park, where she doesn't want to be fed, she wants to hunt. These guys just want to be fed.
And normally, you know, they're used
to sizzler. To
essentially,
them.
The deer is being trained not to eat on those crops, but
yeah, but eat those.
Basically, the dad says, he's tasted the corn now.
You eat them southern greens,
and he's never going to go back to not eating yeah. the corn. He's become a wild
it's like once
animal.
You have bacon.
So it's like he was domesticated, Flag.
Yeah.
Now he's becoming a wild
now
animal.
He's wild.
It's because Jody was. Honestly, becoming a man, he was having more responsibility in his life.
Flag, yeah.
And he couldn't really tend to Flag.
He lost his food virginity, Flag.
He did. And now everyone's pissed. And it's not like yeah. you can get old Philip Seymour Hoffman to come back and plant this corn again for them because, frankly,
no,
they don't have any more.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the season's ending, so they're kind of screwed.
There's, well, they're screwed if they keep Flag, because it's not...
Jody keeps trying to plant, like, in vain.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, not going to happen. Because basically, the dad tells him, the mom tells him...
Yeah.
They need to get rid of Flag. So, And how?
Shoot him.
Apparently, I would be like, can we just drive him to, like, another county or something?
Yeah, exactly. Just bring him back.
I don't want to... This is, like, I'm like,
this
no.
This is the old Yeller moment.
These are the old Yeller moments.
Yeah, so he goes out.
He doesn't want to do it, obviously.
And he chased him off, right? Or does he walk him out?
He kind of walks him out, and then he chases him off, and it's yeah. like, you know, that movement, like, just fend for yourself. But he knows that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So then he comes back, and then Flag shows up again.
Yeah, because, I mean, he knows where the food source
is. Flag gets back to the farm before he does.
Yeah.
He hears a gunshot in the distance, and man, Mom had to do it. Moms always make the most difficult decisions.
Yeah. So she shoots Flag, but she doesn't exactly kill Flag.
No. Oh, my God.
Which sucks. That's
sucks.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's so sad. It's so sad.
Yeah, it's like,
and it shows it.
That's my dead deer.
It shows it, too, in this
yeah.
movie.
It's a good deer actor. That deer deserved some awards.
I guess. I mean, considering how young it was, yes.
Yeah.
Regardless... What happens next, right?
People wanted the dog from The Artist to be nominated. You know, this...
True.
Come on, in the Emmys? The Emmys aren't like, you know, they're not the Oscars. So, like,
so this deer, Flag the Deer, should have been nominated.
Yeah, Golden Globe or an Emmy. Golden Globe.
Golden Globe for sure. The yeah. Hollywood Foreign Press would probably eat this up.
Yeah, right.
No pun intended with the deer eating the corn.
I was so low-hanging fruit, I didn't even intend Oh, dear.
All right. All no, right. that penalty just, here.
Yeah.
You're on notice. You
oh,
should put
no!
yourself on notice.
No!
Put yourself on notice for that.
Do I say...
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
come
I say
on.
Do I say my name or do I say, like, you, I?
Say Kyle.
Kyle, I'm on notice.
So, We laugh, but this is the really sad part.
Yeah.
Jody basically has to shoot.
Yeah,
his like friend's flag. Like,
yeah.
Because what, he's gonna watch his dear friend be like that in misery?
Yeah.
It's not like Old Yeller where
no. Yeah.
Where it's like
this rabid.
Rabid. It's like, this is no longer my dog.
Yeah, this is no longer the dog I knew. This dog is a mean dog. This is just like, I mean, sure, it was eating the crops, but it was still like a lovely deer that like came up to him and was all like cuddly and everything.
Yeah, this is basically, I don't know. I mean, he it's tough. I don't know what I would have definitely shot the deer at this point.
Yeah.
Though, I'll be honest with you guys, and we have friends who, parents are hunters.
Yeah.
Friends who love venison.
Yeah, Autumn and Dan, you'd turn these into cheese-filled venison sausages in a second.
I'm not. I'll be the first to admit it here. I've never gone hunting. I don't know if I could shoot a deer.
No, like, I can't. Anything that has, like, personality.
Yeah, exactly. And again, me, like, I work with animals. I love animals. And I can't imagine just, like, killing an animal. Yeah. Look, and call me a hypocrite all you want. I'm not a vegetarian. So you are allowed to call me a hypocrite. And I know that I'm not the one shooting those animals. And you could say to me that that's wrong to let somebody else shoot the animal. And then I eat it. I get it. I know I'm a hypocrite, but I'm sorry. I don't know if I could shoot a deer. But even in this case, I don't know if you agree, you have to just end this deer's life because of just mercy killing here.
Totally. It's a mercy kill.
I mean, it is what it is. I don't know your feelings on that.
No. I mean, no. Once, I mean, like, I would have, it's not like they have a car, but in like a modern one, it's like I would have like driven him like to a different pasture.
Yeah, yeah, no, we like would that. Have done that. I think we're in agreement that. But like, this is not how once, people live anyway.
You don't just like let it die and, but it cut, wait. He does he shoot it or does it die?
No, he shoots it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty clear.
Well, kind of, I kind of felt like I heard it give its last breath and then he like shoots it just to make sure.
I mean,
sure.
It's possible.
The point, yeah, he gets his...
He does make the decision, though, to put it out of its misery.
And then he stays out there and doesn't come home.
Yeah, he kind of runs away.
Yeah. And then I thought, like, you know, because this movie does, like, keep, like, in the lamest, not lamest, but in the simplest of ways, it does, like, keep you on, like, the edge of your seat.
It does.
Like, yeah.
Definitely if I'm at home in 1994.
Yeah.
I'm, like, waiting through the commercial break to see what happens.
Yeah, because then, well, this is the whole thing. So then the mom goes out looking for him, and then Jody comes back to the house and, like, you know, like, has kind words with Pa and stuff like that. Because he says to his mom, before he runs off and kills Flag, she's like, I wish it was you instead of him. You should die. I wish you were dead.
I think we all, for a movie where,
like, different, like, things have died, you know, that's pretty harsh words.
I think we've all had moments where we've like said something we've regretted to our parents along those lines, but this is like super intense. And you said the mother mother goes out and looks for him, and I actually like that moment because she puts on like Pa's clothes and like his like boots and the hat, and she goes down in the swamps and looks for her son.
I thought something was gonna happen to her. I'm like, no.
Yeah, the way this movie was going, like Slewfoot, the return of Slewfoot, you know, or a bigger one or something.
There's alligators out there. They said in the beginning, there's bobcats, panthers.
Yeah, a lot of animals in the Florida swamp. This is like the Everglades here.
Yeah.
But I mean, she just doesn't find him, right?
Yeah, she comes. Yeah, Jody gets back first.
Oh, she
shares words, and then she comes back, and he just, you know, Jody is like a man now. He had his little child. Doesn't the man thing of like killing it, but then runs away like a child, but then comes back and realizes like, no, you were right. That was, you know, that was the thing that was supposed to happen, and I, you know, like, I don't hate you. I don't mean that.
And he said he ran away not because of like even, you know, of her or anything. He said he ran away because he just didn't have the courage to shoot Flag, and he was kind of embarrassed by that.
This film has a lot of courageous people in it,
and
the learning of courage.
You know what? I mean, this is kind of how it ends, right?
Yeah.
They kind of end like this, just happy family theme, country life.
And he says he wants to get his own dog, right?
Yeah, he says he wants to get his own dog. We do end with Buck. We see him again.
Yeah.
And he basically they're out on a boat, because there is some like boating in this. We didn't touch on it.
Yeah.
Buck and him are out on a boat.
In the swamp. Well, kind of like his Buck's brother that passed, like how we're introduced in the beginning of the film. Then they're out at the end. And it's just like a nice full circle.
And Puck says he wants to bring him into like the moonshine business.
Yeah.
And Jody kind of like politely says no.
Yeah, he just politely says no.
And it seems like Buck's going to be his friend here.
Yeah, his friend and just like another.
Certainly his ally.
Yeah, like another just like loyal figure in his life.
Because Buck stood up to the brother who's definitely like the dominant brother there. Jerk brother's the dominant brother. Yeah. And I feel like after that, Buck becomes the dominant brother. And basically, you know, for lack of a better term, Jody becomes the man of the house there. It's his journey into manhood. It's his journey into adulthood, we'll say. We say manhood because that's just how it was framed at the time. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, like, adulthood.
Yeah, young adulthood and just, like, responsibility.
Responsibility. And his father...
It comes from Pulitzer, you know, prize
And that's
material.
What I was going to touch on. This is, like, this is one of these things where you can tell. Like, this is...
It's just a classic coming-of-age story.
Exactly. And it's not, you know, it's a low-budget kind of TV movie.
Yeah.
That,
but I would tell anyone to watch it.
Yeah, because when I mean, probably the you've seen the original, but I don't know how much you remember. Probably the original's better because it usually is.
Yeah, I would like it would just be like amazing if Philip Seymour Hoffman was like in the original.
Yeah,
it's sure. Gregory Peck.
Yeah,
like, you know.
But it's one of these things where strong writing and a strong core can really propel.
Yeah, just like value. Like you don't have to then be like you're. You know, it doesn't visually doesn't have to be stylistic.
No, this is a story driven film.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Story and well written, like really good like character beats.
Back to podcast ago, The Getaway, that's also you know, that was also a novel.
Yeah.
That became a film and then became a remake. This one, and again, I haven't seen the original, so correct me if I'm wrong. This one feels like it translates better. And maybe because the original story was better. I hadn't read either books, so I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, sure. I'm like, definitely you just have much more, like, in The Getaway that could have gone more, like, convoluted.
Yeah, and again, that's more... That's not a story-driven, that's more action-driven.
It's like...
This, while it has, like, action, quote-unquote, scenes, but it's more, like, tense animal fights.
Yeah.
It's... The core of the story is just, like, a good story. And I think I said it earlier, too, and you agreed, right? That we don't see too many kids' movies that address these, like, hard adult themes anymore.
And, Brian, that's why this generation is failing.
I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
I don't know.
This is not...
I feel like we grew... I mean, we didn't have, like... So this was made in the 80s, so sure.
It was made
in the
90s, obviously. Right?
94. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was made in the... it was made in the 90s. But but it's a TV movie. But like point being, like, you know, we had some good, like, I feel like the 90s had some of the best like kids movies. But like this is like isn't like a kids movie. This is like a.
But it was at the, again, especially the original at the time, or Old Yeller. These were things that were shown to kids. Even Bambi, there's like a serious death in that.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough. I mean, I maybe I'm dark or something, but I feel like there's not enough death in kids things.
Well, kids need to learn certain values and there's certain things that, like, I mean, and it's great because then you have the father character that's like, I wanted to keep that from
him. and that's like a nice thing. I mean, but it's a nice thing to see because it's realistic.
Yeah,
full disclosure, I don't have a kid, you don't have a kid
that I know of
that you know of, so we're not parents, so maybe once we become parents, if we become
any
parents
listening in, give us your
Your feedback. Yeah. Tell us we're wrong.
Please.
But I mean, I even like growing up watching Mr. Rogers, while it's not as graphic, he addresses death, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if any, and I don't have kids, so I don't know. You know, I don't see enough kids movies, but the ones I do see rarely address death. Some Pixar movies can get into that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Animated movies have like kind of stepped in, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're stepping it up a little.
Up.
Again,
come on, the first like 5-10 minutes of Up.
Up, yeah. That,
oh my god.
That's what I think. Even Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
You know, so there are films that do address it. So I can't 100% say, oh, nostalgia, things were better back then. But those are also animated films.
Yeah.
There are not too many real life films that do address death these days for kids. But and I think, again, if this is how the novel goes, because I haven't read it, unfortunately. It kind of made me want to read the novel, but if this is how that goes and how it goes in the novel and stuff and how the original movie is, it feels pretty realistic. Now, look, I didn't grow up on a Florida swamp. I know you didn't either, but couldn't you feel like certain life...
You met in high school, you don't know what happened.
True, true. But aren't there certain universal life experiences that come through in this story?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, without getting too specific, that's why I think it just got some core lessons and values. And sure, you're not gonna the kid now is not gonna, it's not gonna be like, oh yeah, because that's like, I live on a swamp and I want like a dog and stuff, or a deer or whatever. I'm gonna keep a pet deer after my dad's bitten by a snake and I have to cut out its liver. But it just, like, you see that and either it makes you respect something else, or it makes you translate it to something you've experienced.
Exactly. It translates to these core things that happen to all of us growing up.
Yeah.
And
it's a good, it's like in the lines of like almost like a fable.
Yeah. And that's a good, to me, what makes a good coming of age story. I mean, look,
I can't tell you the last time I said the word fable.
You should join us on our fable podcast where we go over so many new Aesop's podcasts are coming, yeah. Tales of Two more questions I have for you, Kyle.
Shoot.
First,
the deer.
Wow. Wow, cold. Did you feel like, because I know in children's movies, and I know like they could be heavily preachy sometimes, like I feel like people might get out of this if they haven't seen this movie, is that it might be preachy. But did it feel like cheesy to you at times, or?
No, I honestly, like, for a TV movie made in the early 90s, it's a, like, I guess technically a two times over remake of a Pulitzer winning, like, prize book. I think it did a solid job.
Yeah, I was afraid when I saw this, that, oh, we're going to watch this cheesy TV movie about a little baby deer.
Sure, full frame, like, you know, lower end production value. But again, I think it just comes from the material, and then there was solid acting. And I mean, again, it was just like fun to see Philip Seymour Hoffman play a new character, or the first time he plays a character like this, but it's a rare character he plays. And he just, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. The biggest thing here is that it did not come off as, like, too particularly cheesy. Yeah. So, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think we're in agreement that he does an excellent job in this film. And it's another surprising thing. And you can see why he would take on this role, I think. I was like, why would he do a TV movie? He's kind of, like, building steam here, right? Sure. But
maybe he read the book as a kid.
And exactly, right? This is, like, something that clicks. It has those universal themes that
I would have loved to have, like, if that's true. I just imagined in my head, like, it was, like, a formidable book.
We like to,
because I know his mother raised him, so maybe he had, like,
maybe.
I don't know.
We like to hear, hypothesize why Hoffman took on particular roles. Mm-hmm. Later, we'll, like, know, because it'll do, like, interviews.
Yeah,
and, like,
just
more,
so much.
Especially, like, the P.T. Anderson films and stuff. But in early roles, we kind of like to see. I mean, I like these early roles because we're learning about him as an actor. He's growing, but he's also just, he shines. Mm-hmm. He shines wherever he is. Even in this film, he shines.
Yep.
So last week, we promised you guys that we would have a contest.
Yes.
And the contest is related to how we finish the show. Because honestly, sometimes it sounds like we're rambling because we could talk forever, and sometimes we just don't know how to shut up.
And goodbyes.
And how to finish.
Reminding
it, yes.
You guys to check in with us.
We're the kind of guys who say goodbye, and then 10 minutes later, we're still talking.
Yep.
That's the truth. So our contest out to you guys is, and you can send it to our email, you can send it through Facebook comments, Facebook Messenger.
That's the best way, yeah, definitely.
Anywhere. Any way you can get it to us, even if you tell us in person, you bump into us on the street, even though you don't know what we look like, but you stalk us somehow, you're outside Kyle's apartment, and you're there, and you're just like, hey, I got a good idea. Fine, we'll accept it. Whoever comes up with the best idea for a closing tagline or a way we can end the show, we'll get a prize. And Kyle, why don't you tell everyone what that prize is?
Prize will be a lovely one-by sheet of Chris Mangan's original artwork design for our podcast, P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast. That beautiful, you've seen it, you know, it's on.
Yeah, you can see that on cageclub.me or even our
Facebook page, or even, especially, and come on people, subscribe.
Yes, on our iTunes page.
On iTunes, and I love it.
I love it
too. He just did a nice, you know, I said, I gave him a general idea, but he just took it and ran with it.
You were the Medici family, and he was your Michelangelo, right?
Like, see,
you were his patron. You said you commissioned him for this beautiful artwork, and he did a fantastic job.
I want you to make me an original.
Yeah, no. That's not. That's a different kind of family, an Italian epic. We're talking about the Renaissance, not
Snap out of it.
Okay.
See, rambling people, give us something to finish with.
Regardless, we will sign it too.
Yeah, sure. Not that it means anything.
Not that it means anything, but maybe one day.
But we appreciate it, so you'll get our good old
John
Hancock on
it. We'll give you a nice little message.
Yes.
And like I said, it's beautiful artwork, so anyone who can come up with a great way for us to get out of your lives faster, essentially, let us know.
All
but
right.
For now, we're just going to say arrivederci, I guess. Ciao.
Sayonara.
Well, I was going with the Italian theme because we were sticking with that, but...
Well, spaghetti. Sayonara.
What? Spaghetti. Kurosawa.
Shisha.
Random words in other languages. We bid you adieu. Goodbye. Tune in next week.
Oh, what are we covering next week? What film is it?
Wow. This is why we need a new one, guys. Yeah. We are doing a film, a drama, starring Andy Garcia.
Ooh.
Meg Ryan.
Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia, Meg Ryan, Philip Seymour Hoffman, of course.
And another movie with a music title.
Yes. And please sing us out, Kyle. Sing us out.
When a man loves a woman, come up with an end way.
Yes, when a man loves a woman. Come subscribe,
up with
follow.
Ending to our podcast.
Sing. Tune in next week, guys.
Tune in next week for P.S. I Love Hoffman.
Where did you come from, baby? Sex a thing, you.